All right, welcome everyone back to another edition of New Books in Education. This is your host, Ryan Allen. And today I'm excited to bring you a book, or actually a report that I think a lot of you are going to be interested in, and actually a revisit from an author we had in the past. And this is Social Justice and Sustainable Change, The Impacts of Higher Education. And today I have the two authors of the report on with me, Dr. Rajika Bhandari, Deputy Vice President, Research and Evaluation at Institute of International Education, and Dr. Mika Martel, Assistant Director of Research and Evaluation at IIE as well. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If we could, can we just maybe briefly describe your work at IIE? I think a lot of our audience should be familiar with it, but maybe some of them, it's kind of new if they're more into domestic work. Can you briefly describe what you guys do there?
Sure, maybe I will begin and provide an overview, and then Mirka could say a few words about what we're doing in the area of evaluation. So our IIE Center for Academic Mobility Research and Impact is focused on studying academic mobility trends, which means that we study patterns and trends both in students and scholars from other countries coming to U.S. institutions to study, as well as American students going abroad. So that's a large part of our work, where we look at mobility trends, and our most well-known project within that is Open Doors. But another large part of our work is in looking at the impact of this type of mobility and really looking at what some of the shorter term and longer term outcomes and impacts are when people cross borders to obtain a higher education. And I'd love for Mirka to say a little bit more about some of the types of evaluations that we specialize in.
Sure. Thank you, Rajika. So our center has created a niche in measuring the impact of international scholarship and fellowship programs. We specialize in several different types of studies. On the one hand, we often help programs that are ongoing, whether they are at IIE or externally. We help them measure the success of the program while the program is in progress. So while scholars or grantees are going abroad, we like to see how those programs are really making a difference. And we usually look at this both in terms of their professional and personal trajectories, but also potentially the difference it's making in their outlook, in their cultural awareness, in the mutual understanding that they have of the world, if I could say it that way.
Sure.
And the other type of study, which is very closely linked to what we are speaking about today, are actually longitudinal studies and tracking studies. So what we are looking at is how programs, when they finish, are really having an impact in the long term. So is there a way that a program like Fulbright or the Ford Foundation International Fellowships Program, which is what the report is about, how a program like that has long-term impacts? And one of the things we've been looking at specifically is the potential that a program like that may have an impact beyond the individual. So this idea that once a grantee or a scholar or a student goes through this type of experience, that it really is a life-changing experience that can influence not only that person, but potentially a much broader network, whether it's that person's community, that person's institution, university, or otherwise.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think a lot of people probably would recognize IIE from what Rajika mentioned, Open Doors, but it's great that we can hear and talk about some of these things that you guys are doing that I think are just as important as those that numbers that they're seeing as well. And let's jump into that, because we're talking about this report that does just that, this Social Justice and Sustainable Change. Can you maybe talk a little bit about what's the Ford Foundation International Fellowships program, what that does? And you looked at this over a 10-year period for that report. So who are these people that are a part of the program? Who are the fellows?
Right. So the Ford Foundation International Fellowships Program was a program that was focused on emerging social justice leaders. These were individuals that were chosen in 22 countries. And there were over 4,300 fellows that were chosen over a period of 13 years. The program was in existence from 2001 to 2013. Now, what distinguishes the Ford Foundation International Fellowships Program is that the program really focused on participants from marginalized communities, individuals who had leadership skills and worked on social justice issues, but oftentimes were marginalized themselves. And it advanced, it provided advanced education opportunities for these individuals to either study abroad, or some of them even studied in their own countries, but usually went to, for example, a capital city from their marginalized community. So based on that, it provided either master's or doctorate degrees to these individuals. And our study, it is a 10-year study, but we actually have not finished it yet. We started it in the year 2013, and we are currently in year 3. And this is actually the first report that we are publishing of the findings of the first survey we did with the whole population.
Fantastic. Can you maybe kind of get into the survey? What were some of the things that you were looking for, or that you were asking, or that that maybe you got back? And if anything that was maybe surprising about the findings there?
Well, the survey really was designed to be a comprehensive look at what the fellows are currently experiencing and the type of work that they're doing. Since the program started in 2001, we actually have some fellows who have been out of the program for over a decade. So we wanted to look at how these fellows and now alumni are really, what experience they have had and how those link back to the IFP's fellowship experience that they got in this advanced degree. And so much like I explained in terms of the methodologies that we use in our overall work, we use different spheres of influence in measuring these changes. And so we first looked at changes in their professional trajectories, what experiences they have had, what leadership positions they have had the opportunity to take part in, and what organizations they have led or created. And then we also looked at broader spheres of influence. So how is it that these alumni have been able to make differences in their organizations, in their communities, and even at broader levels, in legislation, in policies, specifically related to the marginalized communities from which they came?
Fantastic. Roger, do you want to add anything onto those previous two questions? Or?
Yeah, what I would add, you also asked what surprised us. So I would say that one of the really, not necessarily surprising findings, but I would say a really positive finding for us was that even though IFP was not designed to be a program focused on women, the fact that 50% of the participants of the program were women, but that also a lot of the impact that we are seeing through the study has been driven by women. So Mirka alluded to the fact that so many of these, our data shows that so many of these alumni, actually 900 of them, have gone on to create new organizations within their countries, their home countries or overseas. And in fact, almost half of those new organizations were created by the female alumni or the women of the program. So to us, that was a really one of the striking findings on the impacts that the women alumni of the program are also having.
Okay, that's fantastic to hear. I mean, we're always looking, I think, for in our research and in our sort of work in international education, I think those kind of findings. So that's fantastic. I think we lost Mirka here, but that's okay. We can continue on.
There was one other point that I wanted to make in terms of what was really new and interesting and different about what our findings showed. And I think this is one of the first studies to not only put some hard numbers on what the long-term impact of international and fellowship programs can be, but it's also one of the first to really demonstrate that when international scholarship programs invest in emerging leaders who are committed to bringing about local change, it's a strategy that can actually help avert brain drain. Mm. And what we found was that contrary to the widespread concerns about brain drain that still exist within the field of international education about whether students who are pursuing graduate studies outside their home may never return to their home country, what we actually found through our study was that an astounding 84% of the IFB alumni went back and currently live in their home country, doing work either at the national country level within their home country or actually even within their original local communities. So really, it's showing that there can be this big impact on taking that knowledge and those skills back to their country of origin and bringing about local or national level change.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I must say, the report looks wonderful. You go through, you see these individual infographics. You have some great maps in here as well, shows sort of where a lot of these scholars came from. And they come from all over the world, developing or emerging markets. If we could maybe talk a little bit about the methodology that you guys use to look through this data. I know you guys added in this Kirkpatrick's level of evaluation and sort of the different levels, one through five and one added by IIE. Can you talk anything about the methods, either this levels of evaluation or any other methods that you guys use to sort of look through this report?
So the Kirkpatrick model is a framework that's been utilized quite frequently in the field of evaluating scholarship and fellowship programs. But what we did with the model was to take it and expand it further and really add in sort of a fifth layer where we're looking at how the participants' personal and professional pathways and the choices that they're making are leading to much wider impacts at the community and national and international levels. So our overall methodology right from the beginning has been one of a mixed method study where we planned on alternating more quantitative data collection with more on-the-ground qualitative approaches. So the survey from which we've just released the findings is really the first set of data collection within this 10-year study. And obviously, since it's a survey, it's a more quantitative approach. However, as we speak, we actually have a lot of qualitative fieldwork unfolding in three countries in Asia, where we are working with local researchers who are going to carrying out a range of data collection approaches with alumni, which include interviews, which include focus groups, and a whole other set of qualitative approaches. In addition to that, in the coming years, because remember, this is a 10-year study, we will also be relying not just on what alumni have to say about their experiences and their contributions, but also reaching out to others within the spheres of influence. And again, thinking back to the Kirkpatrick model, sort of the various levels at which we see the alumni having an effect. So the community level, the organizational level, etc. And going to those stakeholders and talking to them about what they see as the alumni's impact on their work. So we do plan to, for example, carry out some data collection amongst organizations either where alumni work or that organizations that alumni have founded and launched. So that's a brief description of some of our methodological approaches.
Sure, fantastic. And I also was impressed by the leadership level. I think that some of these fellows that actually had achieved. Can you maybe talk about some of these roles that you saw that these fellows that they went back to their home country and sort of moved into?
Sure. So one of the things that we have found is that the alumni themselves, while some had leadership opportunities prior to their fellowship in their organizations, we actually found that their level of or opportunities for leadership have really increased as a result of their fellowship opportunity. And so what we currently find is that over 79% of the alumni are currently in a senior leadership role. And this really provides them with an opportunity to be a role model for their marginalized communities, to be able to contribute to social justice issues in their countries and more broadly. And so this has really been for many a huge catalyst for them to be able to promote and influence social change.
Great. Was it difficult to get a hold of the fellows? What was that process like?
So one of the things that we did that set us up for success to a certain extent was that we started this study before the program ended. We had about 1 year overlap with the program. And so during that time, we really set up an alumni engagement model to be able to engage with the alumni, have them learn about the study, why it is important for them to participate. But as you can imagine, having a study like this go over 10 years really provides us with a lot of challenges. And so we have been able to, at this juncture, be able to survey about 43% of the population. But again, Rajika mentioned all of the qualitative field work that we're doing. And what we're actually finding is that through the qualitative field work, we will potentially be able to learn about a lot more alumni who, for one reason or another, were not able to participate in the survey, but will be included in our qualitative field work.
And what I'd like to add to that is that this study has really demonstrated how important it is for higher education programs, for scholarship programs focusing on higher education, to really engage their alumni from a very early point, in fact, while the program is still running, and to really develop very clear outreach and engagement strategies for the alumni even once the program is over, because that's what really creates the foundation to be able to study these sorts of impacts over time.
Fantastic. It would kind of come in wrapping up to the end of the interview. And I want to ask, who do you hope reads this report, or who would you like this report to get into their hands?
I think policymakers, for sure, because even during the life of IFP, we saw when the program ran, we saw that governments were beginning to that designing programs that allow for more equity and access can actually begin to change the face of students who are able to access a higher education and really diversify higher education populations. I think for foundations and funders at large, there are some key takeaways in this report, and we really hope that they will engage with it to not only view it as a way to better understand program strategies or strategies within IFP that were particularly effective, but to also really leverage the evidence to design future programs and to fund these sorts of studies. I think it's really critical for funders to not only support programs, but to also support this type of work that can allow them to look at what the impacts of their funded projects can be.
And I think that the other area where we really feel that we're making a difference is just in broader international education research. I think I mentioned this at the beginning, but we found when we started this study, we did some baseline kind of document review of if there are any other studies like this that were being carried on. And we really found that there aren't. A lot of studies, even if they're retrospective, they are a one-time study, a one-time survey. And this is really a unique opportunity for us. So we're really hoping to contribute to the international education research field, to the monitoring and evaluation field, more specifically about how we can, in a longitudinal way, measure these kind of changes over time and over quite a long period of time, meaning that by the end of this, we really might be able to see how people leverage an international scholarship or fellowship opportunity over the length of 20 years.
Fantastic. So what's next for the research in this report going forward? And then maybe what's next for any other research that you guys might have coming up? But that's usually our final sort of question here on New Books Network.
So Rajika mentioned this already. This our next very exciting phase is that of the qualitative field work. With this report, we have gotten a lot of excitement, but also a lot of questions about how the communities are feeling about the role or the work of the fellows and the alumni, whether we can get to some of these alumni who were not included in the survey. So there is going to be deeper research being done, case studies of alumni, interviews and focus groups with their communities in the next year or so. And we're hoping to, at the end of that, in each of the three regions where the program was implemented, we're hoping at the end of that to have perhaps another report that will have a lot more of the contextualized findings and really go deeper into some of the findings that we had from this first report.
And that, what I'd add to that is that we really see this as a very much of a living and evolving study that's going to continue until 2023. So in addition to the specific products that we'll be releasing, and this report was the first such milestone in this 10-year journey, we also envision in the coming months that we would be developing some more reflective pieces on what we as researchers are learning from carrying out this study. Because as Mirka mentioned, this is a unique effort, and many in the field of international education research and evaluation are following the study and what we're learning from it. So we do envision sharing some of the challenges, some of the barriers, as well as some of the best practices in doing this type of work that we hope will inform the field. In terms of a couple of other areas, in terms of what's next for us and our team more broadly in the field of evaluating international fellowship and scholarship programs, there are a couple of areas we're focusing on. We find that leadership, or the notion of leadership, is quite predominant in many of today's programs that or scholarship programs that focus at the higher education level. And through a lot of our evaluation work, we are developing frameworks and models to try and assess how to assess the extent to which those leadership skills have been developed. Another area that we are beginning to look at quite closely and leverage in a lot of our work is an approach called social network analysis, which is becoming quite popular in the field. But we are beginning to apply that in really looking at a lot of the networks and sort of the the wider effects, the ripple effects that these sorts of programs can have through the specific individual who receives the award or the funding.
That's great. Yeah, especially that last one. You're so right. That's sort of becoming the hot area of research in international education. So I'm glad to hear that that's going to be something coming out. And it sounds like you guys have a lot of great things coming from the research and evaluation team. And to all my audience, hope you guys check out this report. It's not one of these sort of very heavy-handed research. I think it's very nice for a lot of people to go and read and look and see the data, see the information explained very well and plainly for a lot of people. So it's great. And that report is Social Justice and Sustainable Change, the Impacts of Higher Education. We'll provide a link on this podcast. And I want to thank Dr. Rajak Bhandari for joining us, as well as Dr. Vikram Martel. Thank you both for joining us. And to everyone out there, I hope you learned something.